What this means for you and for Emerald, my lord, is twofold. First, the terms which will be offered to your prince are those upon which Her Majesty and I have mutually agreed. They aren't the terms of Caris, and they aren't the terms of Chisholm. They are our terms, and they aren't subject to negotiation. Your choice, my lord, is to accept them or to reject them. Is that point clear? It is, Your Majesty. Pinehollow kept his voice even, although it was difficult. It was obvious Caleb was doing his very best to avoid grinding Emerald's pride into the dirt any more thoroughly than he must, but the fact remained that he and Charlian, Pinehollow reminded himself, were dictating terms. The fact that they had the power to do that made the experience no more enjoyable from the other side. Very well, Caleb said. In that case, understand the second consequence for Emerald. Your prince's independence must come to an end, and Emerald must become a part of the new Empire of Caris. There are two ways in which this might be accomplished, and to be perfectly honest, the one which most appeals to me on a personal basis, for many reasons, would be to depose Prince Narmon and formally annex Emerald as part of the Kingdom of Caris. As you and I are both aware, I have many personal reasons to feel less than fond, shall we say, of your prince, and I suppose it's only human of me to wish to make that point abundantly clear to him. However, after further consideration and after discussing the matter fully with Queen Charlian, we've decided to adopt a second approach. Instead of adding your princedom to the territory of the Kingdom of Caris, which we would be fully entitled to do, having secured our claim by force of arms, we propose to add the princedom of Emerald to the Empire of Caris as an intact unit. Pinehollow's mental ears pricked. He felt his shoulders stiffen, but he managed to keep any hint of emotion out of his expression. Assuming Prince Narmon is prepared to accept the sovereignty of the Empire of Caris and its ruler, and to give expression to any requirements for domestic change that ruler may make upon him, accepting that the Imperial Crown has the right to issue whatever instructions it, in its own good judgment, finds most appropriate, he will be permitted to retain the crown of the Princedom of Emerald and will become the second-ranking noble of the Empire. Only the heir apparent to the Imperial Crown will take precedence over him. This time, Pinehollow couldn't keep the astonishment and vast relief from showing. Caleb noted it and smiled thinly. It would be well, my lord, for you and Prince Narmon to disabuse yourselves of any notion that this means it will be business as usual for him in Emerald. The Emperor or Empress of Caris will be the master or mistress of the Empire. Your prince will retain his throne only at the pleasure of the Emperor. He would be well advised to remember that firmly, because I assure you, Queen Charlian and I most definitely will. Pinehollow nodded silently, and Caleb's smile grew slightly warmer. Neither the Queen nor I are blind to the realities of human nature, or to the fact that from your prince's viewpoint, his reasons for enmity with Caris have been just as valid and just as real as Caris's reasons for enmity with him. Bearing that in mind, and rather than rely solely upon the power of the sword to enforce his obedience to our decree, we would prefer to find another means to encourage and sustain his obedience and cooperation. To be blunt, my lord, we believe there are many ways in which Prince Narmon could be of enormous value to the Empire of Caris, just as we recognize that there are many ways in which he might be tempted to create problems instead. And so, as a means of demonstrating our sincerity when we state that Prince Narmon will be the Empire's second-ranking noble, one of the conditions of any treaty between us will be the betrothal of his eldest daughter to Crown Prince Jean of Caris. Pinehollow's eyes flew wide. That was a possibility which had never occurred to him or to Narmon. He knew his expression was giving away entirely too much, but Caleb and Charlian, he noticed, only smiled. The queen has no brothers or sisters, Caleb continued after a moment, nor, obviously, does she have a child of her body. As such, Jeanne will be our joint heir until such time as we produce children of our own. And, equally obviously, Jeanne and Jeannette will stand very close to the succession even after we do produce children of our own. As a pledge on our part that we will support and defend Prince Naaman as we would any other vassal of the crown, so long as he remains mindful of his own obligations to the crown, we propose to unite his family with our family. We realize there are some years' difference in age between Jeanne and Princess Maya, but the difference is less than in many marriages made for far less weighty purposes. And, to be perfectly honest, we believe Princess Maya would be well suited to become Empress Consort of Caris should it chance that the Queen and I die without heirs of our bodies.